Chapter 4. 1 plus 1 equals more than 2. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, define the word witness, define the term laity, define the term clergy, explain what is meant by the calling of the laity, explain God's plan of multiplication for the spread of the gospel, name 2 New Testament men used as examples of this multiplication process, explain how to get started in spiritual multiplication, begin to multiply spiritually, key verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Introduction. Growth in the human body starts with one cell of life. That cell multiplies over and over again until a human baby is formed. After birth, the process continues in the child. Human cells continue to multiply and growth occurs. The same is true in the spiritual world. Each person who has experienced new life in Jesus is similar to a living cell in the human body. Each believer must reproduce spiritually. The gospel is spread as believers continue to multiply in this way. This chapter reveals your personal responsibility in this spiritual process. You will learn of the plan of God for spiritual multiplication, which makes 1 plus 1 more than 2. The challenge. The challenge of Jesus to believers is to reach the entire world with the gospel, Matthew 28:19 and Acts 1:8. Today we live in a growing world. Thousands of new human beings are born each day. The population of the world is increasing rapidly. There are many unreached people groups in the world who have never heard about Jesus. These groups consist of millions of individuals who have not yet been reached with the gospel. Many villages and communities have no church. In many nations, there are not enough trained pastors for the churches that do exist. How can we ever achieve this great challenge of Jesus to reach the whole world with the gospel? God's plan. God has a special plan for reaching the world with the gospel. Jesus summarized it when he told his disciples in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Here is God's plan. The Holy Spirit is the divine power behind the multiplication process. Jesus Christ is the content of the message, and the whole world is to be the recipient of the message. Disciples are the agent of multiplication. God's method is for each disciple to bear witness of the gospel message. To witness is to tell what you have seen, heard, or experienced. In a court of law, a witness is one who testifies about someone or something. As a witness, you are to testify about Jesus and his plan for the salvation of all mankind. There are two kinds of evidence presented by a witness in a court of law. One is testimony, which is verbal witness about the subject. The other is evidence, which is visible proof. The Holy Spirit helps you bear witness to the gospel both verbally and through the demonstration of God's power. Division between clergy and laity. God's plan is for each disciple, believer, to be a witness of the gospel. The early church grew as they followed this plan. Each believer shared the gospel and was reproductive spiritually. Their homes became centers of multiplication. You will learn more about this in a later chapter. The church grew and multiplied as individual believers bore witness to the gospel. As the church grew, God called some people to serve full-time as pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, and apostles. Over a period of time, believers became part of one of two divisions in the church. They were either clergy or laity. The word laity comes from a Greek word which means belonging to the chosen people of God. The basic meaning of the word is all the people of God. The terms layman or laity came to be used for those who were not serving in special full-time functions in the church. The term clergy developed to identify professional ministers in the church. Clergy refers to those who consider the ministry their profession and who usually are employed full-time by the church. They may or may not be ordained by a denomination. Over a period of time in church history, a gradual separation developed between clergy and laity. Many laymen stopped reproducing spiritually. They began to leave the challenge of reaching the world to the full-time clergy. No professional clergy can ever accomplish what the entire church was commissioned to do. This is one of the reasons we have not yet reached the world with the gospel. Believers have shifted their personal responsibility to the clergy. The Bible does teach division of labor in the church, but every person is to be involved in the spread of the gospel. Read Acts 6, 1-6. As the church at Jerusalem multiplied, it became necessary for a division of labor to meet all the needs in the church. The leaders gave themselves full time to study of the word and prayer. Laymen performed duties like ministering to the widows and other such tasks of serving. But although believers served in different offices in the church, they were all involved in the spread of the gospel. Stephen was one of the laymen chosen for serving tasks, yet he bore powerful witness to the gospel. Acts 6, 8-11. Philip was another layman chosen for his serving tasks. He shared the gospel with the Samaritans. Acts 8, 5-12. When the persecution came in Jerusalem and believers scattered to other cities, they continued to be witnesses of the gospel. Acts 8:4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. For true believers, there is no division between sacred and secular because Jesus is Lord of all. The calling of the laity. If you are to really understand the spiritual call of the laity, you must go back to the Old Testament. God's plan was for the entire nation of Israel to be priests or ministers. Exodus 19:6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. As priests, each person in Israel was to be a witness of the one true God to unbelievers. The establishing of an official priesthood did not change God's plan for Israel. The priesthood was like the clergy of today with special leadership roles, but the entire nation was still to serve as ministers of the message of God to heathen nations. In the New Testament, believers are given a similar calling. They are called to be priests or ministers of the gospel. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The calling of believers is to bear witness of God, who has brought them out of spiritual darkness into the light of Jesus. John 9:5. Believers are told to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:1. There is one calling, and that is to bear witness to the gospel message. It is a vocation of all believers. Each person is accountable for their response to this call. The call is not based on education or natural ability. God uses ordinary laymen in order that he alone may receive the glory. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mightily, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The multiplication process. In the Bible, God reveals a special plan to enable believers to fulfill their calling. Multiplication is a basic principle of all growth in the natural world. Growth does not take place by adding just one unit to another. Living cells multiply. Each new cell produced has the ability to reproduce. God's plan of multiplication is similar in the spiritual world. Paul summarized this plan when he wrote these words to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Paul told Timothy to select faithful men and commit to them the things he had been taught by Paul. These faithful men were to have the ability to teach others. Through this organized plan of reproduction, the gospel would spread throughout the world. To see how God's plan of multiplication works, study the following chart. This chart uses the period of a year as the average time necessary to convert someone to the gospel and train him to be a reproductive Christian. In reality, the process could take more or less time, depending on the person involved, so it is not possible to set a firm time limit. But if a believer would reach just one person and disciple them each year, and have them pledge to disciple one person each year, the world could easily be reached with the gospel message. Observe on the chart that during the first year the believer is discipling one person. At the end of that year, there are now two faithful men, the believer and the new convert he has discipled. You will learn more about this process of discipling later in this course. During the next year, each of them reach one person with the gospel and disciple them. At the end of the second year, there is now a total of four people, each of whom will disciple one person the following year. Year 17, Discipler, 65,536. Disciple, 65,536, for a total of 131,072. Year 16, Discipler, 32,768. Disciple, 32,768, for a total of 65,536. Year 15, Discipler, 16,384. Disciples, 16,384, equaling 32,768. Year 14, Discipler, 8,192. Disciples, 8,192, equaling 16,384. Year 13, Discipler, 4,096. Disciple, 4,096, equaling 8,192. Year 12, Discipler, 2,048. Disciples, 2,048, equaling 4,096. Year 11, Discipler, 1,024. Disciples, 1,024, equaling 2,048. Year 10, Discipler, 512. Disciples, 512, equaling 1,024. Year 9, Discipler, 256. Disciples, 256, equaling 512. Year 8, Disciplers, 128. Disciples, 128, equaling 256. Year 7, Discipler, 64. Disciples, 64, equaling 128. Year 6, Discipler, 32. Disciples, 32, equaling 64. Year 5, Discipler, 16. Disciples, 16, equaling 32. Year 4, Discipler, 8. Disciples, 8, equaling 16. Year 3, Discipler, 4. Disciples, 4, equaling 8. Year 2, Discipler, 2. Disciples, 2, equaling 4. Year 1, Discipler, 1. Disciples, 1, equaling 2. God's divine strategy of multiplication and mobilization. Now take an average church membership of approximately 100 people. Increase this chart to 100 people each, reaching one person with the gospel and training them to be reproductive. And you can see how we could easily reach the entire world with the gospel. Multiplication is faster than addition. Addition, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, continue to grow one by one. Multiplication, 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 times 1, you continue to multiply. Each one you reach continues to multiply. Each one they reach continues to multiply. The process in the early church. The following shows the first stages of multiplication resulting from Andrew, one of the first disciples of Jesus. Andrew, Peter, others, others, Pentecost, others, others. Andrew shared the gospel with his brother Peter. Peter shared the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Peter continues to share the gospel with others who also become reproductive. Thousands of believers scattered from Jerusalem continue to spread the gospel. Each person they reach becomes reproductive, and the process continues. The following shows the first stages of spiritual multiplication resulting from the Apostle Paul. Ananias, Paul, others, others, Timothy, others, others, faithful men, others, others. Ananias is used of God to raise up Paul. Paul disciples Timothy. Paul continues on to disciple others. Timothy disciples faithful men who can teach others. Faithful men reach others. These others continue the multiplication process. Each person in the network continues to multiply. Ordinary people. The Bible tells little about the man named Ananias referred to in the above diagram. He was not known of man, but he was used of God to raise up the Apostle Paul. Andrew was a common, uneducated fisherman, but look at the chain of spiritual multiplication for which he was responsible. You may not be well known by man. You may not be well known in your community or church denomination. You may be an ordinary person who works at ordinary tasks, but God can use you to multiply disciples. Read the story of the healing of the lame man in Acts 4. When Peter and John appeared before the council, it was obvious that they were uneducated, common men. In Acts 4:13 and 14, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. These common men had received new life through Jesus Christ. The life within them resulted in spiritual reproduction. Jesus entrusted the laity with the responsibility of spreading the gospel. He took fishermen from their boats and made them into fishers of men. He believed that ordinary people could become extraordinary when empowered by the Holy Spirit. Gideon was a farmer. Paul was a tent maker. Moses was a shepherd. Luke was a doctor, and Joseph was a great political statesman. Whatever your education or occupation, God can use you in his plan. Where you are and who you are is not important. It is what you are doing where God has placed you. The key to effective spiritual multiplication is to be God's man or woman in God's place, doing God's work, God's way. How to begin? The New Testament reveals that the gospel spreads the most rapidly along existing social networks. By this, we mean that you can spread the gospel easiest to your own social group of relatives, friends, and co-workers. For example, Jesus called one fisherman named Andrew. Andrew shared the gospel with a relative named Peter. They shared with other fishermen with whom they worked. Soon, a whole group of fishermen were following Jesus. In daily life and work, the laity is not just some fragments of the church scattered in the community who come together for worship and fellowship. Laymen are ambassadors of the kingdom to their relatives, friends, and co-workers. The world of work, school, family, and community is your arena of ministry. In Luke 16:19-31, read the story of the rich man who went to hell. This man wanted to return to share the gospel with his family, but it was too late. Do not wait until it is too late to share the gospel with those in your own social network. Spiritual gifts and multiplication. The true evidence of baptism in the Holy Ghost is becoming a powerful witness of the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit enables believers to multiply spiritually. See Acts 1:8. One way the Holy Ghost empowers believers is through spiritual gifts. Each believer is given spiritual gifts to equip him to minister to others. These gifts are supernatural abilities given by the Holy Spirit. A modern example. Nothing can defeat God's plan of multiplication of the gospel through the witness of individual believers. Here is a modern example. After years of missionary work in the nation of China, the church numbered fewer than 1 million when missionaries were expelled by the government. Pastors were imprisoned, Bibles burned, and churches closed. But 30 years later, when a measure of openness returned to China and reports were available, the number of believers was estimated to be from 10 to 50 million. Although the churches had been closed and pastors in prison, ordinary believers continued to reproduce spiritually. Nothing can stop God's plan from spreading the gospel. Growth of the kingdom. Every believer must become reproductive, but mere multiplication of believers is not enough. Believers must become a functional part of the church, which is the corporate body uniting all true believers. The church must also multiply itself. The church must experience internal spiritual growth and progress onto expansion, extension, and bridging forms of growth. You have learned of your responsibility to multiply individually. In the following chapters, you will learn how to multiply corporately within the context of the local church.